What's up, Dutch Nation? Mark Berry here. Today on the podcast, somebody that's very special to me. Definitely my sister from another mister. Legacy franchisee for Coeur d'Alene and Post Falls, Idaho, Brandy Buller. So Brandy got her start at Dutch Bros back in 2004 in Grants Pass at the Coffee House. And she actually learned one of her most valuable lessons from Dane Boersma about learning customers' names. Since then, she's just been a customer service wizard, eventually became manager in 08, and that was when she hired me. I don't know why, but I am grateful that she did. I learned so much from her. She was a great example and a great leader, and she was kind enough to share with us some upcoming goals that she has, positive thinking, and creating a positive environment. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the Brandy Buller podcast. Welcome to the Dutch Bros podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Beside me is my main man, Shane Tappan.
Good morning.
The machine gun. And on the phone all the way from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, the one, the only legacy franchisee, Brandy Buller.
Woo!
Yay! Hello. Really wish I wasn't on the phone. I really wish I was sitting on the red couch.
I know. I do too, but it's hard.
I know.
Distance is a thing. You got stands to run. And I should also, I guess, incorporate Kootenai County, right?
Yes.
Is it Post Falls, the other stand?
Yeah, we have two in Coeur d'Alene and one in Post Falls. And I think there's probably an ability to do some other outskirt areas. Nothing that's kind of crossed our desk yet, though.
Gotcha. Well, that's good. I mean, always have your sights towards the future.
Yeah.
So I guess, well, I was going to say, tell us who you are, where you're from, what you do for Dutch Bros, but I guess we kind of already covered that.
Totally. I was born and raised in Grants Pass.
That's right. That was where I met you.
Yeah, I know, right? Gosh, it's been a long time.
10 years, actually, to be specific.
I actually also met Brandy in Grants Pass. I think it was Kocha, and you guys were here, and I was closing at downtown at the time. And your crew and you rolled through and gave me a whole Abby's pizza.
Whoa!
Yeah. We had a video playing outside the stand, and it was the one that you and Provost were talking, and Abe.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, hey,
that's the girl from the video.
You're the girl from the video. And then she gave me a whole pizza.
Dude.
And that was the sweetest thing ever.
I get that a lot. We don't have, like, a lot of homeless population here in Coeur d'Alene, but I remember specifically thinking, if anyone needed food tonight, they would be hanging out at Dutch Bros.
And it's true. I shared a whole box of pizza with two other bums sitting out front.
Downtown.
Oh, yeah. It was the best.
Yeah, some things never change.
Right.
Okay, so tell us the year you first got hired at Dutch Bros and where you got hired, and then parlay that into what coffee did you first drink when you were first working there, and then what do you drink today?
Okay. So when I first got hired, what year was it? It was 2004. I had been like a year out of high school. I seriously remember that day like it was yesterday. And that day I ordered a double chocolate mocha, which I thought at the time tasted too much like coffee, which is crazy.
Right.
my high school days, I drank a plain brain freeze, they were called at the time. Now it's a Dutch freeze. But just plain, no drizzle drizz, no flavor.
Whoa.
By itself.
Look at you.
Old school.
And what are you drinking today?
And today I'm drinking an Americano with heavy whipping cream. No sugar.
So are you on the keto kick, or do you just like the heavy whipping cream?
I don't know if we should open up this box, but I'm not. I love nutrition. I think keto is super healthy for you, but I don't think you should be in ketosis all the time. So I guess I'm a little more paleo than keto, but I do a lot of fat.
Gotcha. Right on. Yeah. So, and who hired you? Was that Rachel Malcolm?
It was E.
E, oh, wow.
Rachel was the assistant manager at the time, and I remember going down to the coffee house really early, like before they opened, but I didn't feel comfortable knocking on the door when it wasn't open, so I drove around town. I drove around in circles, and I would stop at the coffee house. They still weren't open. I drove around in another circle until the open sign came on, and I walked inside, and I got a double chocolate mocha. I went home, drank it, and then I came back. And, you know, it was the mid-morning rush, and they pretty much hired me on the spot. It was the craziest thing.
That's rad.
Nice. And then you were at the coffee house for a while.
The coffee house was the only place that I had worked before I moved to Coeur d'Alene, so I guess that was a little bit of an adjustment, too. I just feel like the coffee house is such a special place. You get to, like, reach out and, like, touch people across the counter. You're just so close, and lots of hugs and I just feel like I really got to know my customers on a deeper level. They're hanging out there a little longer. It's just a different connection. I think you can still kind of get that through the window, but, you know, with the speed thing and with customer service being at the forefront, it's getting a little harder to have that like super deep connection. Yeah. But the coffee house, you definitely get it.
It was just a lot more personal.
Totally.
Let me tell you, you set the bar high because all of a sudden it's 2008 and this crazy gal hires the guy that's talking right now to work at the coffee house. And I just remember the first couple mornings just kind of shadowing you, and you literally knew every single person, and everybody like wanted to hug you, and every guy was like, yeah. Why'd you hire another guy?
Yeah.
I was just like, oh man, this is brutal.
I know.
Pretty sure that's what it's still like today.
I've always thought of working at Dutch Bros like throwing a party, and your first couple days in there, it's like walking into someone else's home with someone else's guests and trying to make it the raddest party you possibly can.
Yeah.
And you don't know anything. And my first couple days in the coffee house, Dane had come up to the bar and kind of pulled me aside and told me to use people's names. Mm-hmm. And it was a game changer. And I learned through that. I learned how to make mistakes. And I feel like I called everyone Dawn.
We did have a couple Dawns back then.
Yes, I know. You hear it a couple times and then you're like, Dawn? But through that, through those mistakes, you learn really fast, like what people's names actually are. And I learned that you have to make learning names a priority. And if you ultimately want to love on people, learn their name, and you just have to want it. I mean, so many times people are like, I'm just not good with names. I think it's a cop out. I think you just have to apply yourself.
Totally.
You have to want it.
But yeah, if you just said Dawn, like they could at least see that you were trying.
Not to mention Dane was sitting right next to me.
So yeah, pressure.
I was like, oh my gosh. He told me to use names. I don't remember this person's name.
Oh, man.
You mentioned Dane being there. What was it like having him just like as a frequent person at the coffee house?
Not just Dane, like the whole family was always there.
Yeah.
And someday I want to be able to have that here. Like be able to have a coffee house where everyone comes in, everyone's loved on. It was like a meeting place at the time. And I'm sure it still is. But like everyone just walked in and it was like the meet and greet for the morning. I remember Sandy coming in and having like a little birthday party for someone, and we were getting them all smoothies and treats. You really get to learn like the heart of the business through having the family there and being able to experience that connection.
And then eventually you became a manager, and that took a few years, huh? And what was that transition like?
It did. It took a few years. And I think at the time, years feel a lot longer when you're younger. And it is hard to remember a lot of the details, but I remember the first part of becoming manager being so excited, I took on a little bit too much. And I remember having a conversation with Brant specifically about the freeze and cleaning the freeze machine. I felt like I was picking up all the slack and I was cleaning it all the time and just needing help with delegation. And eventually I got to learn that. He taught me how to delegate and ask for help. And to this day, I probably delegate way too much. I've learned how to do it so well.
Nice.
I've gotten so comfortable asking for help, delegating, and communicating, because I feel like a lot of that is just communicating where you're at, where you're coming from, how you're feeling. And people ultimately want to help. That's the heart of people in general. Stepping into a manager position, you feel like it's all on your shoulders and it's all going to come back to you. But I think also stepping into that manager role is being able to create that team.
I think the hardest thing about it too is everybody's looking to you to just have all the answers.
Right.
You've gotten to a position at that point where you know a lot, but you know, there are times where it's like, oh, I don't really know. So how do I allow myself to be vulnerable with these people that are trusting me and just be like, you know what? We got to figure this one out because I don't have the answer.
Absolutely. When you're trying to be that person that knows all the answers and has it all like perfect, it's hard to respect that. But if you can see like this person has gone through this, this was the struggle, this is what they came up with, or these are some of the solutions, what do you guys think, and kind of come to that answer together, I think people can be more behind you and on your team. And then at the same time, you're teaching them what it is to be a manager and what struggles they might encounter and whether they even want to be a manager or not.
Yeah. Some people just love working for Dutch Bros and they've got great attitudes and they do a really good job. They don't want the pressure to move up and they got their sights on something else down the road, which is awesome.
Maybe in their mind, a manager is something completely different. And by you sharing with them your struggles and your questions and coming up with answers with them and making them a part of the solution, they get to learn what it really is like being a manager and whether they're really wanting to take on that role next or not.
So you're in the shop for a while, the coffee house.
Yeah.
And then there is this situation that kind of arises in Coeur d'Alene, and you are asked to go over there for a while. Tell us about that whole story.
Moving to Coeur d'Alene was a super crazy ride. Jeff and I moved here when the opportunity came up to be regionals with the intention behind it to become franchisees. So the craziest part about it is we had only been dating for 6 weeks.
I remember
And
this.
Now we're moving. Now we're moving 10 hours away from home and trying to run a business together. This November makes 9 years we've lived here, and our 5-year wedding anniversary is in a month.
Awesome. Yeah.
I know.
And where'd you guys meet?
Trav had taken us to Tony Robbins, all the managers. And at the time, Eugene was company owned. And I had been good friends with Britt. So I hung out with her and some of the Eugene crew a lot of the time when we were there. So I met him that way.
Good old Jeff.
I know.
So tell us the truth, because he was potentially going to be on this morning. Is he golfing? Is that what he's actually doing?
Yeah, right. I know. I wish I could say that. He is trying to spend every minute of his life right now preparing for Summit.
Oh, yeah. Home course. You know, he's got to be sharp. He can't get upstaged by anybody.
I know. He wants everything to be as perfect as it can be.
I'll never catch him, so he doesn't got to worry about me. But maybe a couple other guys.
He's a really good golfer.
I've heard. I've still never played with him, but, you know, people that I respect and know that they know what golf is, they all like are like, oh, yeah, Jeff can get after it, so.
I know. Remember when you taught me how to play golf?
That was quite the day. I don't think I'd ever seen Kyle and Zach so frustrated at me.
I had so much fun. I can't speak for everyone, but I had so much fun, just so you know.
You and I made the most of it. I wasn't really playing well that day, but I think it had to do with some other things.
We just had a lot of fun. We would just go out to be outside and have fun. But Jeff plays at a level that you have to keep up, and you gotta know what you're doing. Yeah. You gotta be able to hit the ball.
Yep. That's the hardest part. So.
Right.
Was it an easy decision to just move there? I mean, that's crazy. You've been with somebody, what, you said 6 weeks, and then it's like a huge opportunity, but all you've known is the coffee house. Like, what was going through your mind and your emotions and your heart?
Totally. I'd been to Coeur d'Alene a little bit previous to that, and I had experienced like the middle of winter. My goal, I wanted to franchise to California. I wanted to be in the sunshine. Mm-hmm. I mean, we moved here feeling like, okay, well, we're just going to try this on and see if it ultimately fits so we can franchise. And our first summer here was just amazing. Thoroughly enjoyed the town. Wintertime, Jeff taught me how to snowboard. In the summertime, we saved up our tips. I want to say $20 a day, each of us, in an old coffee can. And we bought a boat and we just enjoyed that every day.
Awesome.
We fully enjoyed this town, like, every day before kids. And kids have slowed us down a little bit, but we've always been busy, and we've always filled our life with really fun times. And I'm so grateful for Jeff having a partner that likes to just go and be a part of everything. But it didn't take us long to realize that we really loved Coeur d'Alene and we wanted to live here. You feel like you're working so hard and nothing's actually moving. And I think that it's okay. It's okay to have goals and want to climb. But I think you really have to be patient. Mm-hmm. You have to be present, and you have to find your happiness where you're at. I mean, just write down the things that you're learning along the way that people you're grateful for, and ask a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. And figure out like why you're doing what you're doing, and recite it a lot. Yeah. Because if you're truly living in your why and fulfilling your purpose each day, not only will you be able to make a massive difference in people around you in their lives, but the promotions just come. Totally. And then you're ready. You're ready to walk through those doors, and you're ready to take on that next level.
A lot of young baristas that I know of, they get really discouraged. They might get passed over for a shift lead or assistance. It's like, when is this going to happen? It's like, these things take time.
Yeah.
And that's how you know you're working for the promotion rather than working because this is really what you want to do with your life.
Exactly.
You were gracious enough to hire me as your assistant manager for a while. And there were talks. I knew like you wanted a franchise, you wanted Dutch Bros to like be your end game, and you had been doing it a while. And there were some times where you would kind of confide in me that you were getting a little discouraged and stuff, but it never showed up on the day to day.
I mean, I can specifically remember moments even just before becoming a manager, just feeling like kind of discouraged. I really wanted to become a manager. It felt like every time the moment I would let it go and just be where I'm at and just really focus on being present, doors would open up. I mean, you got to live in that place, you know? You know, we have these goals of becoming operators or becoming franchisees, and then what? I remember my takeover party that we had when we became franchisees, and I remember talking to Trav, and now what? He looked at me and he's like, and now what? That's the answer you got to answer. Like, you got to figure it out.
What year was it that you guys went from being regionals up there to then Trav like officially offering you guys the franchise and it's yours?
That day was probably the most exciting day of Jeff and I's life. Like, no joke. We had wanted it for so long, and it was 3.5 years that we had been regionaling. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's even a word. Being the regional managers.
Regionally.
We just became comfortable in doing our best and learning along the way. And Trav had texted me and wanted to talk. And sometimes that can definitely worry people when they get that text from someone. But I think I get curious for those types of texts. And so we sat outside our bank doing the deposit that day in our car. It was winter, so it was like the end of 2012. And he offered it to us and set us up to take over January 1st, 2013. And we got so excited and gladly accepted, obviously. Yeah. And I just can't believe like what a gift this company has been for us.
With that being said, what's some of the biggest challenges you faced taking over that franchise?
Biggest challenge was opening Post Falls. While we were going through it, it didn't feel like we were being challenged, but it brought about our biggest lessons easily. Just with hiring, training, opening, like just building a brand new site. Yeah. Those were things that we had never done before because our stands were already existing. We learned so many lessons in that. And Jeff is the design operations guy, and he was literally at the site every day.
Yeah.
And he's the one that when we travel around and look at other stores, he's always like taking in everything that people are doing and trying to take the best of the best. And I was more the trainer, ultimately putting together a group of trainers that can train our trainees in the stand. Because, I mean, you can't train 30 people all alone. So there's more delegation.
Totally.
Obviously, that's a really cool relationship that you guys are doing this together and that he has different strengths and you have different strengths. Has that been really challenging at times, or has it made you guys grow and be stronger?
Honestly, like, I feel like we really do have an amazing relationship, and a lot of that is just built on trust and freedom and a ton of communication. We communicate so much. It's probably disgusting. We're both big talkers. We love to talk. But franchising has really been at the center of our life, and Dutch Bros has been. I mean, if you think about it, we literally started doing this since we met. So we don't really know any different.
That's very unique, too. I don't know. We definitely have some DB power couples, so to speak, and I would put you guys into that category. But I don't know too many that just went right into it or out of the gates just swinging. Like, okay, here you go, co-regionals, go get it.
I don't think it has ever happened. It's a really wild story. And I was at a place in my life where, it sounds so great, I knew I was going to marry him. So I was really solid in the point where, like, I know that I'm going to marry this person, and we just were in it to win it. I don't know if he knew that at the time, but we just moved here, and we did what we knew how to do, and he was a manager and I was a manager. And then coming together, that I guess was a challenge, trying to get on the same page and back out of the stores and try to do everything the same, because we kind of had our own ways of running the store. So I guess that was a little bit of a challenge, I guess, that we overcame.
But you guys always had the same common goal, and I'm sure that made it easier.
Totally.
And ladies and gentlemen, let me just set the stage for you. She knew she wanted to marry him within a few weeks or whatever, and this was back when she was affectionately known as Buzzsaw Brandy.
Oh my God.
Because she had a moment where she was single for a little while. She had gotten out of a bad relationship, and all the regular coffeehouse guys that were swooning over her were just, you know, asking her on dates and sending her flowers. And I'm just working beside her, just watching, because she's like, well, I don't know. I'm just, okay, I'll go on a date, blah, 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 blah. And this poor guy, I just made the comment. I'm like, he doesn't even know the buzzsaw he's walking into right now. He's like ready to propose, and it's like, she's just not having it.
No, are you did. You did. And you went to Comic-Con, and you got me, you brought me back this sketch of Buzzsaw Brandy.
Yeah, I had a comic artist draw one, and it's so sick. Do you still have that drawing?
I still have it.
Oh, yep. I love it. Yeah, they made her like a superhero. He did like Catwoman comics and stuff and put these big saw blades on her forearms, and it was hilarious.
Great.
But no, so it was like, wait a minute, hold on. Like, you're going to marry this dude? Like, I remember I was tripped out. I'm like, wow.
You specifically told me our first date was a wedding, and you were like, do not bring this guy to a wedding.
Yeah, because I'm like, you're going to buzzsaw this poor bastard too. But oh Jeff was buzzsaw proof, man. He had the repellent. It's that golf swing, bro.
Gosh,
get it.
I know, right? That's all it took.
Oh, gosh. Sorry. I just, you know, you have a very special place in my heart. I mean, you really, I owe a lot to you because I'm sitting in this chair because you took a chance on me. So I have a lot of stories and fond memories.
Oh, God.
Hey, I'm sorry, Shane. I get emotional.
You have a very special place in my heart as well, Mark. Like, I feel like the coffee house days were so fun, and
they
you were a huge part of that.
Ah, thank you.
Yeah, and I just feel like we were really great friends, and I feel like I gained a lot of friends from working at the coffee house, and I love that you're, like, still a part of my life in that way.
Yeah, I mean, definitely not as frequent, you know. We're married, kids, live in separate states, but, you know, it's always good to just reconnect. Love it.
I know.
So, obviously, goals have been a big part of your life, and you've been good at writing them down and staying on the track and keeping focused. So what are some goals, both professionally and personally, that you have for the next couple of years?
More stands.
Cool.
That's always a goal. Always want to open more stands. We also want to build more leaders. One of our goals is to put out some operators, but for the right reasons. I don't want to put people in operator positions that don't want to be there.
Yeah.
But I'd like to say that Jeff and I put a ton of effort and resources and time into our leaders. We love seeing people achieve their dreams, like either within Dutch or outside of it. Two of our managers that used to work in our stores, they're working at the hospital right now pursuing becoming nurses.
Oh.
You remember Brad Powers?
Of course, yeah. B-Rad.
Yeah, he's living in California. He's pursuing his passion. It's amazing, and he loves it. I got to see him a few months back. He absolutely loves it, and I knew he was a little nervous doing it. But at the end of the day, I'm so proud of these young people because they figure out what they want to do, and they're doing it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I live in my safe zone. Like, it would be so hard for me to step outside. I mean, obviously, Dutch Bros has become safe over the years. Like, I feel at home here, but like, God, I cannot even imagine stepping outside and doing something that you're not sure about. It just takes a lot of courage to do that. I'm just in awe. Another one of our professional goals, I feel like I want to be a pillar in our community. And I'm proud to say that we almost never have to turn people down for donations. And that might be because maybe we're not getting a plethora. I know there's areas that just get hit left and right. But we haven't had to turn a lot of people down. It's usually the ones that come asking for cash, just straight cash. I want to figure out a way that we can say yes to everyone. And I don't know what that looks like yet.
Yeah.
But I'd like to find a way to be able to help everyone that needs it.
Yeah, I like the idea of the donation coming as a result of like a fundraiser that's being put on, you know. Any personal goals?
Well, I obviously want to be the best wife I can be. I want to be the best mom I can be. That's always a constant goal for me. I started doing CrossFit about a year ago, and I really want to be able to do RX workout. And if you've done CrossFit, you know what I'm talking about. But they set up, there's workouts every day, and then RX is like the prescribed weight. So being able to do the whole workout with the prescribed weight or in the prescribed amount of time.
That's definitely a goal. I did CrossFit for like 3 months and I hurt my back. I'm like, no thanks.
Oh my gosh, you went too hard. You went too hard.
This was years ago too. I was trying to gain weight back then.
We definitely have a great CrossFit gym here and our trainers are awesome, but they like don't even let you use weight at first.
That was not my coach.
Yeah.
He was doing inverted push-ups on like rings, like Olympic rings.
Yeah. See, I don't even do that yet.
Yeah. I think most people don't.
You gotta go slow.
I was looking at this guy. I'm like, oh, crap. It's like, all right, bro, get it.
I thought about doing it and I hurt my back. I was like, just thinking about it.
Shane and I are delicate flowers.
On the other side of things, I think it keeps my back healthy to do it.
Yeah. Doing it right without too much weight for sure.
Yeah.
I just did it wrong.
I love it.
But being a part of Dutch Bros since what, 2004, Can you just give an example of a good life lesson that you've just learned from Dutch Bros?
This is a good life lesson. Let me see. My entire life, everything that comes out of my mouth, I've learned from my time at Dutch Bros.
Yeah.
Can I share a lesson I'm working on currently?
Totally.
I really want to be better at asking questions, specifically when it comes to our leaders, mm-hmm. like when problems arise or they need direction. I have learned that people do not take advice. They can be led and they want to lean on you for support, but ultimately you cannot make anyone do anything that doesn't come from within themselves. No. So if you can learn to ask good questions and figure out what motivate people, that is how you can like be a better leader, I think.
Yeah. How do you find the right question sometimes? That's a challenge in and of itself.
Again, you're not going to be perfect. And you ask them and then you're like, that wasn't right. I think I'm transparent when it comes to that with my leaders too. And I let them know like where my intention is. Like, okay, I'm trying to ask more questions because you know as well as I do, I tell you what to do all the time because I've already encountered this challenge. So I know the answer and I know what you need to do. But how can I get you to arrive there? And they know what I'm doing. So...
Totally.
Figure out what they want, where they're going.
Yeah.
Well, Brandy, last question. You've gone from the ranks of just regular barista to manager, regional, franchisee. What's one thing that you could share to those hungry kids out there?
Oh, my gosh. Okay. It does relate to Dutch Bros, but not specifically to becoming a good barista, but leading a better life. Get really aware of your thoughts as soon as possible. Part of my mission statement is I will be aware of the thoughts that become my reality and dig to find the beliefs that don't serve my greatest self. And by dig, I mean identify and dig them out like a freaking weed, like get them out of your brain and replace them with flowers. Because even if you don't believe what you're going to say to yourself at first, even if you have a hard time seeing yourself as beautiful, just start thinking it. And over time, it will become real. Yeah. Your thoughts are so much more powerful than you know.
Totally.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny too, because how much stuff around us in this world is just totally negative, and why are we telling ourselves negative things when there's plenty of it around, you know? Like, why are we fixating on that stuff?
Oh, my gosh. And Facebook makes it so easy to unfollow. If you get like, a negative feeling, like, just unfollow. I just put stuff I want. Yeah. I want to think into my newsfeed. You start following positivity groups or pages or on Instagram, you start following, like, awesome quotes and maybe some fitness stuff, maybe some like healthy diet stuff. Like that's what your life is going to consist of.
It'll show up in your feed and you can't help but ingest some of that.
Besides social media, it's like surrounding yourself with people that make you better, you know?
Actually, I'm reading this book right now. It's called Willpower Doesn't Work. The basis of it is not only are you being affected by your direct friend group, but by their friends. Set up your environment to support whatever it is you want. So if you're having a hard time eating well, then you need to like meal prep. And if it's easy to eat right, then you'll do it. If your environment isn't set up, you're going to fail. And if the people that you're around aren't the people that are going to support whatever it is that you want, you're going to fail. It's going to be very, very difficult. And willpower doesn't work at that point. If you're being challenged with anything, read the book and just, you know, dig a little.
Yeah, sure. Brandy, thank you so much. Always a pleasure.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. Yeah, maybe I'll have to do a part two sometime.
We'll get Jeff on here too.
Absolutely. Yeah, Jeff's got to say his piece now.
Yeah, I know, right? I'd love to hear his answers.
Maybe we'll set one on with just Jeff, and hopefully you can chime in from time to time while he's there. You know, right. Redirect his answers like, no, honey, that you're remembering that wrong. It was actually like this.
Oh, my God. I love it.
Cool. Right on. Well, Dutch Nation, hope you get some good stuff out of this. Oh, Brandy's an excellent example. Learned a lot from her personally, and I hope you all do. And, get out there and enjoy the rest of your summer, y'all.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Peace.
Peace.